Blog Talk Radio.
Oh. Tune in each week to Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, hosted by author James T. Deshay. Tune in and dial in Tuesday, 6 p.m., 657-383-0309, Thursday, 6 p.m., 347-855-8867, and Saturdays, 8 p.m., 657-383-0309, all times Eastern. James is the author of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and also Passion, Desire, and Contemplation. We talk about everything that's happening in our world, anything that impacts the lives of our listeners. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, email us at djames82@aol.com or call 407-394-9819 for more information. That's Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, heard here on your favorite radio station, Never Had It So Good, Sports Media Network.
It's very important for me to go on the record and let all of you know, especially those of you who are in the Orlando area, that I support Geraldine Thompson for Congress. She's the most experienced individual in the race. She has been an elected official for the last 10 years. She's shown her commitment to the community, her dedication to the middle class and the poor, and she's fought to strengthen schools and opportunities for people of color. So it's very important for me to make sure all of you know that you would be best served if Ms. Geraldine Thompson wins the election for Congress.
Welcome, everyone. This is your host, James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. And once again, as always, you know I'm just always so happy and proud and elated to be here with you, and I want to be here with you each and every day. And I come with joy in my heart because, you know, every time you do something different, every time you challenge yourself, it allows you to really know what it feels like to be proud to be an American. And I want to start the show off with just talking about that a little bit. I want to say to you guys that as much as we argue, fuss, and fight, as much as we get on here and talk about the bad things that are going on in the world, and the issues that we have with our country, and some of the disappointments where we've been up so high, and then it seems like, you know, how can we be here? There is a part of me that truly has pride in my country. I'm proud of my country because though I might not be where I want to be, and though there are issues or obstacles that might keep me from getting to where I want to be, I have the opportunity. As long as I'm willing, I truly believe in the system, as long as I'm willing to fight hard, fight long, and not waver, there's the opportunity for me to reach my goals. And I don't believe that any one individual can be placed in front of my path and deny me that which is mine. So it's a combination of my Christian belief and faith in my Creator and my being in America that leads me to believe that I can have my dreams. And we talk about dreams a lot on my show because dreams are so important. You know, you have to have something you're willing to fight for, something you're willing not to give up for. You got to be willing to wake up every morning and go after that which inspires you. And as an American, I feel inspired to do everything I can to make America better. That's why I'm going to make sure that I vote and make sure that I try to get Hillary Clinton elected as president, because I don't want to waste it 4 years. I don't want to waste it 8 years of Donald Trump. I believe that I can move forward faster and more efficiently under the leadership of Hillary Clinton. And so that's why I'm fighting for her. But what I'm fighting for even more, you know, I talk to you guys about what I call my second phase of life. I reached a point where I was able to retire from teaching at Orange County Public Schools and working my last 10 years at the jail. I reached the point where I can now work toward those things that I want for myself personally. And that's what we all have to find, is what do we want to work toward on a personal level, on a level that makes us feel good about waking up in the morning, on a level that makes us feel proud that we're working toward a legacy. And it excites me that I am now working and sharing my time with those things that are just me. And I want you to be able to do that too. I want you to be thinking about that. Even before you can do it, I want you to be thinking about it. And we have a lot of things to talk about. There are a lot of things for us to talk about. But there's nothing more important than me inspiring you and inspiring myself to stay committed to the long term toward making America great. And what we should say, not making America great, but making America greater, because I truly believe that it's already great. You know, there's some people who will lend us to believe that we're going to hell in a handbasket. You know, that's some of that stuff that some of these people say. But change is not always bad, but change is important. We can't stay in the same place doing the same things and wanting things to get better. We have to strive toward making life as pleasant as possible for as long as possible, and putting the country in a place where our children and our grandchildren will benefit from our efforts. And that's what life is all about, making a commitment toward that which will make life better for all of us. And when we see something wrong, we need to speak up about it. When we see something not that needs our intervention, we need to step in. We can't sit back and fat cat it because we may have done a few things that put us in a good position. It's time for us now to believe in what is important and seek to embrace those things that make us happy. And I want to encourage all of you to make sure that you do whatever you can to grasp a hold to what it is that really brings you to a better place. And I just, you know, I was thinking just before I got on the show, you know, sometimes I have to let people know what it is I think about America and what I believe about America, because sometimes, you know, I'm getting on our country so much about wanting it to be exactly what it says in the Constitution. But I have to be prepared also to say that I love my country. I want to be an effective part or beneficial part of what makes my country special. And what really makes it special is when we get in there and we do what we have to make things different, to make things better, to make things like they're supposed to be, to get rid of the biases and the prejudices and the things that give people an unfair advantage. We all should look to support and enjoy that which makes us feel comfortable about where we're headed and where we're going, and hold people accountable. That's what's part of being a proud American, is making sure that we hold everybody accountable to the way they're treating all of us and not let anyone get off the hook. And that's what I look forward to doing. And so when I see injustice, I want to be prepared and ready to bring it to the forefront. Not because I hate America, but because I know America wants to be better than that. And so that's what I'm about. That's what I'm looking and seeking to do. And one of the things that I'm proud of this evening is having the opportunity to learn more, to do more, and to do better. And that's what I'm bringing to the table. And I want to just thank you all for being out there listening. I want to thank you for being a part of this journey that I'm going on. And I want you to give me the strength to continue the journey on doing what it takes to be the mirror that America needs to look through. And we all have to play a part in that. Okay, we got a few audios that I want to bring to the forefront. You know, after just spending some time just telling you that I'm a proud American, I'm going to jump on America's case, because that's what being a proud American is that you bring to the forefront those things that need to be said or needed to be heard so we can address them. Okay, we need to address all of it. So I'm going to start that right now. So I want you to listen to this audio. And after listening to it, I want to just talk about it for a little bit.
A local attorney found herself sent to jail today, all because of what a judge says she wore in court. 27 First News reporter Amanda Smith has been working to talk to people on all sides. She has that story for us tonight. Judge Robert Milich says his opinions have nothing to do with his decision to send attorney Andrea Burton to jail today.
The judge doesn't support either side. The judge is objective and tries to make sure everybody has an opportunity of a fair hearing. And it was a situation where it was just in violation of the law.
Burton wore a pin that says Black Lives Matter to a court hearing today. Earlier, the judge had asked her to remove it, but she refused to take off the pin. He found her in contempt. This security video from inside the courtroom shows her being taken into custody. Attorney and community activist Kim Aiken says she's worried about what happened.
No one wearing an American flag button would be removed. No one wearing a crucifix or a Star of David would be removed. So why this particular statement bothered him so much is bothersome.
The judge said his ruling is based on Supreme Court case law.
There's a big difference between having a flag, a pin from your church or from the Eagles, and having a pin that's on a political issue.
Legal analysts say judges have free rein when it comes to what's said or worn in their courtrooms.
And the judge has the right in any circumstance that they think that some issue or matter will be disruptive to the court or a distraction to the court. They can ask that individual to remove that object.
The judge released Burton from jail, provided she doesn't bring any political pins back into his courtroom. The NAACP says they're concerned about the situation.
We are monitoring this case very closely as it violates Attorney Burton's civil rights. Unless she violated the law, there does not seem to be a valid reason for her to be jailed because she was wearing a pin with Black Lives Matter.
Burton and her attorney both refused to comment on the case. In Youngstown, Amanda Smith, WKBN 27 First News. We reached out to Burton today and met up with her at her attorney's office. She declined to comment on the case.
No matter how proud I might be of my country, these are the kinds of things that we have to fight against. Now, I don't know why this judge felt so compelled to place this African-American female in jail because she wore a Black Lives Matter pin. I just purchased myself two Black Lives Matter t-shirts, and I'm going to continue to wear them, to continue to be an active part of the movement, because we all have to take a stance. Now, how in the world was there any way that pin interfered with this woman's ability to do her job. This was just a case of an old white American flexing his muscles and making sure that she was fully aware of his disdain for the button that she was wearing, because it in no way interfered with her doing her job. Now, these are the kinds of things we have to fight against and be prepared to stand up for. 3766, give us your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Regina, calling from Columbia, South Carolina.
Hi, Regina, what do you think about that? Now, here this lady is getting ready to go to court as a lawyer and gets thrown in jail because she's wearing a pin, which could not be that huge a pin. I'm sure it was a pin that was tasteful. And she got put in jail for contempt of court because she wouldn't move a pin that said Black Lives Matter.
I read about that. And I'm sort of on the other side of that, because there is a certain way that we are to dress when we go to court. There are certain requirements. And I saw I heard where you just said that you purchased T-shirts. Well, I saw those T-shirts online, and I posted that right there is something that would get me fired if I were to wear that Black Lives Matter T-shirt to my job. So in order to avoid issues, mind you, I support financially and emotionally support the Black Lives Matter organization, because they do a lot more than people know. But if I were asked to take that pin off, I would take it off, because I can do more out of jail than I can in jail. And that is just my opinion on it as far as going into a courtroom. Now, if I'm wearing it just in the street somewhere, or going into a store or something like that, and someone tells me to take it off, that's a whole nother issue. But I would have followed the mandate of the judge.
Well, Regina, I have to tell you, I fully understand what you're saying related to making a political statement at your job. But I think of the court a little differently. What I'll say to you, I fully understand that you don't want to bring anything to a school that would create an environment where people were not able to learn, or would bring so much attention to the political statement that would alter the order of the classroom or the order of the day. I fully understand that. But I'm just saying that, first of all, a lapel pin normally cannot be seen at a distance. You know, you normally have to get right up on a lapel pin to do that. And so if you're going to allow other statements, lapel pins, because the judge said, oh, if it was a flag, or if it was the eagle, or if it was a number of other things that he thought was acceptable, then it wouldn't have been a problem. But because hers was Black Lives Matter, again, it did not have any, it wouldn't have been noticeable to anybody but someone who was willing to get within 3 or 4 feet of her, I would think. And so I'm not sure I understand how that would disrupt the court.
Well, I know that the pin could have been larger than and it could have been easily seen, and it could have been a distraction in the court. And because that is that is that judge's court, then, you know, they have the right to ask for that pen to be removed. That's just like if someone were to come in the court. Now, here's my question. If a white lawyer came in and said, with a lapel pin that says "White Lives Matter," what would have been the outcome of that? So I'm wondering a lot of things with that.
And I hear what you're saying, because I would have liked to know if a police officer came in with a, you know, with "Blue Lives Matter," you know, and yeah, that you know, but we won't know or can't know right now what that judge would have done in that case.
Right, but we do know what they did in the case of Black Lives Matter. And as I said, you know, it's fine to be militant. It's fine to stand up for your rights. But I believe that sometimes you have to weigh things. Not saying that, you know, I don't know, maybe I would have been just as defiant as she was. But because I have time to evaluate what happened and look at it and say what I would do now, then maybe, and I think that's why I have the opinion that I have. But knowing me, I would be very upset too. And why do I have to take off my Black Lives Matter pin? At that point, I would have probably done the same thing that she did. But because I have time to think about it and process it, then I would not have, you know, I have a different opinion now.
Well, let me ask you this. You talk about her being a part of the court system, her being a lawyer, and she's part of the system, and she was asked to remove her pen. What would you think of him asking someone who appeared in his court to take the pen off? Someone who was there for court, maybe as a witness, or maybe as a part of the process itself. Would you think it was okay for him to engage those people who are not part of the system to ask them to remove things from their lapel?
Well, I would have to see whether or not he was equal across the board. If everyone, because when you go into court, I had to go in there a few weeks ago, and before I could even go into the courthouse, I had to go back to my car. I had to take my cell phone, put it in the car. I had to leave my purse in the car. All I could take was my driver's license and my car keys.
Wow.
So they are stopping things that are distractions in the courtroom. Now, suppose the lawyer, suppose the attorney was doing a jury trial then. How would that have affected the jurors that she selected? I think you're supposed to keep it as sterile of an environment as you can, so as not to sway anybody in the courtroom. I mean, that's just my opinion. You know, I know nothing about the judicial system other than it's not something that I want to participate in.
Well, we don't, unless we're in an environment that is not going to hurt us. You're right, and you brought something to the table, because I would have thought that most people would have been in agreement with me, but you did bring some light to it that would, because certainly you wouldn't want those people in the jury box to be swayed with their opinion based on something your lawyer was wearing. So I guess I could see where that might be important not to to plant any seeds that may not be in the best interest of your client. So I could see that. They didn't tell us what type of jury trial it was or what they were facing, because many times, you know, in front of the judge, there is no jury, or they may be just a hearing. So we don't know exactly what was taking place at that time. Now we're going to go to another story. So I want you to stay hanging there with me, Regina. This is another story related to a judge, but she's doing something a little different. And let's talk about what she's doing and how it may impact our society.
You're getting this body bag. And the only way somebody will know you're in here is by this tag that'll have your name on it. What do you want to do?
When a judge explained to children and young adults what happens when you get in trouble with the law, the entire courtroom was left in tears.
Stop acting like you're trash and putting pictures of yourself on the internet. Stop being disrespectful to your peers. Care about yourself. The fact that you're shedding tears means you want to be better and you want to do better.
Boys and girls ages 9 to 17 were part of a Scared Straight program in Georgia. They were given some tough love by Superior Court Judge Verda Colvin, who then gave them brutally honest truth about being in prison.
Come on! Somebody's raping you in the middle of the night, and there's nothing you can do but just lay there. Because guess what? Everybody got to get their turn. So it's your turn, because you're the new meat on the block. That's the reality.
The judge also had some compassionate advice for their future.
If you don't make a goal for yourself, society's going to make one of these two options a goal. And I'm serious. Guess what? If your parents don't have money, you can go to college almost free. That's the beauty of it. If you don't want to go to college, get a skill. But you've got to do something.
After the sheriff's office posted the video of the judge's speech, she's now getting praised online, with the video being shared by thousands of people. Empowering words with a lasting impact.
The way you're going, you will go to jail, or you will end up in the body bag.
Be sure to watch Inside Edition.
Now, I found that very compelling, and we need a lot of judges and a lot of police officers and a lot of people out there doing and preaching the same message. We're losing too many young people of all races to the justice system and the correctional system to just sit back and let it continue in this fashion. We have to be prepared and ready to place some positive messages in the spirits of these young people and encourage them to work hard in school, and because it's going to impact their futures later on. And so often, so many of our young people are just ill-equipped to deal with what's going to take place in life when they become adults. So my hat is off to this judge who is looking to inspire and to somehow scare kids into doing what is in their best interest. And so it's important to me to support, when I hear these stories, and try to say to everybody, this is something we should be doing in the lives of all kids, is trying to get them to understand how valuable education is, how valuable and important their lives are, and how we want them to be productive citizens, and we want them to be productive mothers and fathers, and continue making America great by being taxpayers. You know, we want to create good taxpayers and not tax burdens. And that's what's important in our lives to do that. 9454. You out there, could you chime in and tell us your name and where you're calling from? And what do you think about this judge talking to these kids and trying to scare them straight? Nine four five four. Are you there? All right, let's continue to just talk about what it is we think about and believe in regard to trying to make life better for our kids. You know, we have to be willing and prepared to reach out there and say what it needs to be said to encourage our kids to get on the right road. Because we are fully aware of what the road is like and when it is headed in a wrong direction, a bad direction. And too often, there seems to be too many of our kids embracing the thug life. You know, and I hate to use that term, but we have to be real about some of the hip-hop artists who are creating this thug-like environment or this world that some of our kids are gravitating toward. And we have to somehow put up some other world in front of them so that they can see the value in doing what's right. You know, see the value in leading a life that's going to be positive. And we can do that by talking to them, letting those people who are in leadership speak to them and encourage them and share with them both sides of the coin. Because we need to fully understand there's a good side of the coin and a bad side of the coin. And if we have too many of our kids being incarcerated, we're not going to reap the benefit of their talent. All these kids are given and born with a talent, and we need to be encouraging that talent to be used in a positive way. We need them to step out of their environment. If they're in a bad environment, we need them to assist them in dreaming of themselves, creating a good environment where their talent can work for good. And that's what we all need to be prepared and willing to do, is to live our lives in a manner where we feel comfortable enjoying what life is truly about. You know, I'm committed to that. I'm committed to seeing us get beyond the status quo, seeing us get beyond where we feel comfortable with losing so many of our kids to death and incarceration. We have to be willing to fight for our children, fight for their futures, and fight for the benefit that they can bring to our country. America cannot afford to continue to lose children at the rate that we're losing them to death, to incarceration, and to uneducation. And that's what we have to be prepared to do. We need to make sure that all our kids understand that they have value. They have value, and we want them to produce in a positive manner. That's what life is all about, encouraging our kids to reach higher and higher goals and know that they should have aspirations and dreams that they're willing and prepared to fight for. Regina, what do you think about that?
I don't know. Maybe you read my Facebook post. I posted, and I think it was, it had to have been last night, that I'd really gone into a dark place. I will say that it was a depression because yesterday was Monday. Saturday, I lost three young people who I taught. And when I say lost, one was killed and two are in jail. And I'm tired. I'm tired of going to the funerals of students that I've taught. I'm tired of going to courtroom students that I've taught. And I asked my Facebook friends to pray. Well, first, I thank God for making me a vessel to be able to encourage continue to encourage our young people, but I also thanked him for making me a vessel of encouragement for the parents. And I've asked other people to continue to encourage parents who are dealing with hard-headed children, because many times these children who get out here and get into trouble, many of them don't have parents home that are dysfunctional. It's just our children are so hard-headed at times. And our parents have got to stick with the children. They cannot just drop them by the wayside or give up on them. They've got to see the value in them and know that this too shall pass. One day, if they stick with those children, they'll be able to smile and say, you know, I almost let go, but I didn't. And look at my child now. And it upsets me, and it makes me so sad to see when our children are incarcerated, kill each other because someone gave up on them. We can't give up on them.
Well, you know, you're so right. I mean, I spent 10 years of my life working with inmates. And the thought that we have so many, America right now has more incarcerated individuals than any country in the world. We incarcerate more people than any other country in the world. And when you incarcerate people, that's wasted potential. That is truly wasted potential. And we cannot afford to keep incarcerating people at the same rate and throwing away the key without being mindful that these are people who should be productive in our society. And we have to give them an avenue to get back right with our civilization, so that they don't have to continue to be a burden on our taxpayer. We need them to be taxpayers so that they can benefit our society and not take away from our society. So
exactly.
Every time you see somebody who's lost their lives or who's been incarcerated for a long period of time, that's a loss to our society. And you're right. We need to commit ourselves to them.
And as I said, it just saddens me. It makes me so upset. When the incident occurred Saturday, all I knew was there were two bodies on the ground. And because of the area where it occurred, I said, I know that there's someone I still live. I had no idea that not only was some of my students, but the people who did the shooting were two of my students. And reflecting on how I tried to encourage those students and how I tried to work with those students, they're in their 20s now, so they were in more than 10 years ago, and they're still doing what they were doing. I don't feel that I failed them, but once I gave all that I had to them during that time, who did not pick up the gauntlet and keep it going? There was a disconnect, but I did all that I could do during that time. So, and it really brought something to my mind. We're saying, and please don't get me wrong, we're saying Black Lives Matter, but when are Black lives going to start mattering to us, to Blacks?
And in our community.
How do we feel this in our communities? Why can't we march for our own communities and pull together our communities and the young people in our communities and let them know you get out here and you raise all kinds of sand when a police officer kills a black person. But if you were to look at some of these body camera footages and see how rude and disrespectful and how we are, some of our children don't even have self-respect, and you get upset with the police for the way that they react, they're not right. But many times, we're not right either. We've got to find a way to manage our own selves and not have to be managed by somebody in a long gown sitting on in a courtroom.
Regina, let me ask you this question. Where do you think all that anger and built up venom comes from that allows young people to point guns at people like themselves? Because, see, to me, that is self-hatred. When you're pointing a gun at someone who looks like you, someone who's in the same environment as you are, I believe that's self-hatred. And I just don't know, even with spending as much time as I've spent in the jail, I've never come up with where does that anger and self-hatred come from that allows them to feel comfortable going around and slaughtering their own people.
Well, I tell you, a long time ago, and you probably have heard this saying, if you lie, you steal. If you steal, you will kill. It starts very young, very young. So if something is happening in the home or in the neighborhood and the lying starts, and then you start picking up little things that don't belong to you, and it's either seemed cute or it's not correct, and then other things start happening. You don't learn right from wrong at an early age. You don't learn right from wrong at an early, early age. So it builds up. It builds up where you're starting to disrespect yourself, disrespect authority, disrespect your brother, disrespect your parents. That disrespect that is built up, and it's just like a volcano.
And I see it in their behaviors. I see it in the way they, when you do watch these videos of them fighting, that you can just pick your foot up and kick somebody in the head. You know, that's just the anger that it takes to be able to just viciously beat on somebody seems to be something that is commonplace in young people, in these African-American young people. And I love them to death. Don't get me wrong. I love my people. I want to fight for my people. I want to create an environment for them to go beyond their dreams. But there's a segment of our society that has so much bent up venom inside of them that when they let it out, they're vicious. And we have to somehow reach out to them at a young age where they teach them some type of humanity.
Well, you know, we don't believe a lot in therapy and getting to the bottom of what's going on. Oftentimes we say, oh, well, they just like their daddy. You know, that's how their family acts. But why? And where is it that we break the cycle? When do we break that cycle of that anger? You know, the anger because the daddies went somewhere, the anger because of this, the anger because of that. When do we when do we break that cycle of anger? Anger.
And I, that's something I'd like to know as well. I want you to stay there with me. I'm going to see if someone who is always with us is free to say a little something. I wasn't sure if she would be or not, but I'm just going to check real, take a real quick check to see if she's available to share any of her thoughts with us. 1-958-1958. Let me know if you... free to say a little something. If not, I'll mute you again, but I didn't want you to leave without giving you an opportunity to say something.
Hey, family. How y'all doing? Happy. Well, I did want to comment first on the court situation, and I totally agree with the other caller, with Miss Regina. I agree, because even at my job, you know, if I come into the job with a T-shirt on that they do not agree with, if they tell me to take it off, I have to take it off because I am at work. Now, if I was at home going to the store or somewhere else, then I can wear whatever I want to wear. But when I'm at my job, I must comply to the guidelines that have been placed for this particular company. So, you know, for the judge to do what he did, you know, that's how it is. When you're at work, you have to comply with whatever their guidelines are. And concerning these children that are fighting and abusing one another, I'm just going to call it as I see it. It's the devil, the enemy. He is running rapidly within our young people. And it's just like it's out of control. And when you see them on these posts that they're putting up, I don't see the kids. I see the enemy using these kids to do this stuff and to think that it's okay, you know, because when you see them and they look at you like, you want some? You going to do something about it? So I believe that that's nothing but the enemy. So I know for me, I just pray, you know, over my kids and over my friend kids. And that's all you can do, because once they're out of your sight, they're out of your sight, you know.
And you're so right. It's a sad thing that we have these kids that are able to go get these guns, and they're able to put their hands on these weapons, and they have no fear of pointing them at one another and just taking somebody's life. I mean, it's just horrible. Do you understand when a person dies, when a person takes that last breath, they can't come back? And I never want to experience taking anyone's life. I don't even want to take anybody's life accidentally, because I could not imagine what it is to live with the thought that you played a part in somebody's life ending. And certainly, you know, that just seems to be just too much. I mean, seems to be too much for somebody to live with. So I guess I question, what are these kids, how are they able to live with these despicable behaviors that they are able to do and to enable to behave in their communities, and how they're able to disrespect their parents and disrespect their elders, and just they're willfully able to disrespect people in a manner that is just, that we never saw back years ago. What do you think, Regina? Are you still there, Regina?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
I think you wouldn't believe what I've been doing. But I believe that, and I just have to speak from experience. I just really have to speak from experience. I say, but by the grace of God goes I. The disrespectfulness, the misbehavior in school, I mean the downright cutting of classes, telling off teachers, all of that I've experienced with my child. But when I recognized there was something more that I needed to do, I did it. I didn't stick my head in the sand like an ostrich. And I got the help, and I surrounded ourselves, surrounded us with a community and prayer warriors. I mean, I had prayer warriors who called her name religiously every day from the time she was about 8 years old until graduation. And the power of prayer, she's now doing well, 3.3 GPA in college, and is a very compassionate future educator. But it didn't happen by chance. It happened by design, and I had to do the designing. I didn't give up. We're giving up on our children. It's something, as your other caller said, it's nothing but pure evil. It's nothing but the devil. You can see it in their eyes. You can look in the eyes of some of these children, and it is as if you're looking straight into their soul. It's just dark. It's nothing there. And you got to curse the devil, and you got to tell the devil, you will not have dominion in my household. But you got to believe when you say that, and then you've got to go and seek help, because God gives you the knowledge to know where to go. But for those people who don't have that knowledge, then there are people like us who can help those folks. And there's a way to help them without making it seem like you're a know-it-all. You have to have compassion. And you have to understand that that mother is hurting, because no mother on this earth brought their child into this world to be a murderer.
Well, I think you're so right. And again, we cannot continue to allow these treasures to be lost in the fashion that we're losing them right now. We have to believe that these people are treasures and that they deserve the opportunity to blossom. And we're losing a lot of treasures and beneficial people by locking all these people up in jail. And we cannot
continue to throw away
the key. We have to find a solution. We have to not give such long-term sentences to people who have nonviolent offenses. We have to look at redemption for some of the people who find themselves in these situations, and we have to give them a road back to being a positive force in our community. I'm going to go away to the commercials and come back and end the show. We've had another outstanding show where you all have chimed in and just been a positive force, and I just love it when I can look forward to appreciating you being out there. So I got a few commercials, and then I'm going to come back, and we're going to end the show.
It's very important for me to go on the record and let all of you know, especially those of you who are in the Orlando area, that I support Geraldine Thompson for Congress. She's the most experienced individual in the race. She has been an elected official for the last 10 years. She's shown her commitment to the community, her dedication to the middle class and the poor, and she's fought to strengthen schools and opportunities for people of color. So it's very important for me to make sure all of you know that you would be best served if Ms. Geraldine Thompson wins the election for Congress. Tune in each week to Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, hosted by author James T. Deshay. Tune in and dial in Tuesday, 6 p.m., 657-383-0309, Thursday, 6 p.m., 347-855-8867, and Saturdays, 8 p.m., 657-383-0309, all times Eastern. James is the author of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and also Passion, Desire, and Contemplation. We talk about everything that's happening in our world, anything that impacts the lives of our listeners. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, email us at djames82@aol.com or call 407-394-9819 for more information. That's Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, heard here on your favorite radio station, Never Had It So Good, Sports Media Network.